We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Scott already said, I know a percentage of you are here for the great union wedding here of Marshall and Jessica, but it was their wish that you worship with us today, and we just do our normal thing. So now I'm going to do my normal two-hour sermon. Just kidding. Don't get nervous. Be like, all right, I'm out. Tell them I left a gift on the table. For a few weeks here at Redemption Church, we've been exploring what it means to be a rainmaker. We kind of understand that term, you know, when it applies to business. But there's a spiritual parallel that goes with that. And if we pique your curiosity at all today, you can watch the previous few weeks on our podcast. Oh, yeah, we're very high tech. But just to cover the basics for you, drought is death. When there's drought, it's just death. Rain, on the other hand, is blessing. It's abundance. It's plenty. It's more than enough. And Scripture is very clear. It is God that gives and withholds the rains. That's entirely in His control. In the book of James in the Bible, it says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. That's all under His control. But God, in His infinite wisdom and grace and mercy, allows us to influence the flow of rain. That is to say, we can release blessing into our lives and into the lives of everyone around us. The following is a variation of an oft-repeated promise in Scripture. From Leviticus chapter 26, it reads like this: if you walk in my statutes, everybody say if. There you go. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto sowing time. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safety. Now, God has given us a pattern of living that if we live it out, it releases the blessing of God into our life. Verse 5 in this passage is pretty fascinating. It says that your planting, your threshing is going to reach unto vintage. The vintage is going to reach unto sowing time. Let's put that in modern vernacular. You're not going to live paycheck to paycheck. Or you're not going to live relationship to relationship. Or you're not going to live from high to high. But whatever you get in life, it's going to be more than enough to get you through the season of life that you're in. And then there's going to be stuff there for the next season that you go into. That's a good way to live. And God has given us the pattern of how to do this. A rainmaker spiritually is someone that produces so much that they're not just successful for themselves, they produce so much that everyone around them benefits from their life. Rainmakers live at the highest level of life. There are four levels of life. There is survival, where you're just getting through today. There is stability, where you're not worried about getting through today, but you have a few plans for tomorrow. There's no, but you're not continually in crisis management mode. Then there's success, where there's no current crisis and no crisis on the horizon, and you've anticipated a crisis that could come. But the highest level is significance, where your life means so much that it's bringing success and stability to people around you. Significant lives are rainmaker lives, and it's what God has called you to, and it's what the world needs from you. Our text, it's an interesting little thing that happens there. He says, if you do this, then I will cause it to rain. Let me say this. God loves you unconditionally. There are no limits set on God's love. God's love is unconditional. However, virtually all of His blessings are conditional. And that's where people get all jacked up. Well, God loves me, so He's going to give me everything I want. Not necessarily. God's love for you is unconditional. His blessings all require a degree of obedience to the directives that God has given us. God's love for you is infinite, but His blessings are another story. There are principles that govern the release of rain, the flow of blessing of God into your life. Now, North Texas is in a drought. This was re-emphasized in the newspaper this week. We now have businesses that are worried about relocating here because of the drought we're in, that there's no sign of it ending. But can I tell you something? The lack of rainfall in North Texas is not the worst drought in the world. There is a leadership drought in this nation. Have you seen the crew vying for their turn at the top job? There ain't one of them that I would trust to lead a group of Boy Scouts across a city park, but they want to lead this nation. There's a drought of integrity in this country. There's a drought of decency in this country. Well, are you going to sit there and look at me? We'll just break it down. When you have children being molested at a major university and everybody looks the other way because they don't want it to affect money, we have a problem in our country. There is a drought of decency in this country. There's a drought of rationale in this country. The social dialogue grows more strident and hysterical and ridiculous by the day. As the narcissism epidemic has reached explosive proportions, there's a drought of empathy and compassion and charity and kindness toward others because we've become a bunch of navel-gazing, self-obsessed little people that all we're worried about is me, 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 and it's caused a drought of empathy and kindness and love in our society. There's a drought of responsibility in our culture. No one wants to own anything. We got people screaming, somebody got to take care of my college loan. I went to college for 4 years. Now who's going to pay the bill? Well, how about whoever signed for it pay the bill? We have responsibility. Nobody's responsible for nothing, yet everybody wants somebody to handle something. There's a drought of responsibility. There's not a lot of people stepping up saying, you know something, I'm the reason it is the way it is, and I'm the guy that's going to fix it. We have drought conditions. There's a drought of hope in our world today. There is economic despair, and there is loneliness. Depression and anxiety are at pandemic levels. There's a drought of courage in our world today. Everyone is too afraid of loss and too afraid of ridicule and just too afraid. Allow me to make a couple of observations about the drought we're experiencing. First of all, number one, all of the hand-wringing and questioning as to why we are where we are needs to stop. God has not been obtuse about any of this. He said, if you do this, then this is what life is going to look like. If you don't do this, life's not going to look like that. Is that fairly easy to comprehend? It's not complicated stuff. When the rain is not falling, when there is not abundance, when there is not blessing, when there is not fruitfulness, then someone is not doing what God said for us to do. It doesn't mean that God hates us, that God wants to destroy us, that God has quit loving us. It simply means we're not walking in the statutes that release the rain, that release the blessing of God in our life. I'm not frustrated because there are no vegetables growing in my backyard. Do you know why I'm not frustrated? I didn't plant any. Some of you caught on very quickly. Let's try this again. I'm not upset because I don't have a PhD in physics. Do you know why? Never studied for one. I know some of you are shocked that I don't have one. You would assume that I did, but no, I don't. Anyone frustrated and upset because the book you never wrote's not published? A guy asked me this week, a client asked me, he said, I really want to get a book published. What do I need to do? I said, do you have a manuscript? No. Step one, write a book. This week, much to my shock, chagrin, and disappointment, Bradley Cooper was named the sexiest man alive. I thought this was my year, Skip. And you can't turn on your TV without seeing Bradley Cooper's abs. I'm not bitter because I don't have abs like Bradley Cooper. Do you know why? I don't eat like Bradley Cooper and I don't work out like Bradley Cooper. What's more, I'm not going to. Someone tell Lee Ellen, get over it. Not going to happen. Are you guys starting to get this? Let me lead you through a little prayer. What do you have to, when you walk home, for there to be light in your house, there's a few things that need to happen. Number one, you need to contract with someone that provides electricity to your house. Then you need to pay the bill. Then when you walk in, you have to turn the switch on. Anybody ever walk in your dark house where you never contracted to get electricity, where you never paid the bill, and you never turned the light switch on and said, I just don't understand why it's dark in here. No, we're more rational than that. Then why are we acting confused and baffled about the spiritual drought that are destroying us as individual and destroying us collectively when we have refused individually and collectively to do the things that God said we are to do in order to live blessed lives? In the Old Testament, God was very clear about what he wanted in the way of sacrifice. Kill an animal, the best one you have, burn it on an altar. I don't necessarily understand his rationale, but he's God and he doesn't have to explain himself to me. So he said, here's what you, there's blessings you want from me. You kill the best animal you have, you drain its blood, you burn it on an altar. You didn't have to do it, but there were blessings of God. If you wanted them, you better do that. And a guy named Cain comes along, picked some crap out of his garden, went through it on an altar, and God didn't accept it. And Cain acted like a bunch of people wandering around life today, bitter and mad and upset, and I don't understand why God didn't accept my offering. And God spoke to him in Genesis 4, and he was very clear. The Bible says Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will certainly be accepted. In other words, this is not rocket science here. Just do what I said to do, and you'll see my blessing in your life. Being a rainmaker has very little to do with your abilities and a lot more to do with your obedience. Do what God said to do, and it will work in your money, in your relationships, in your family, in your mental, emotional, and spiritual existence. But people throw out scriptures like they've got God in some contractual headlock. Well, he said he would keep me in perfect peace. Yeah, he did. If your mind is stayed on him. Now, if you're thinking about all kinds of other junk, Pastor, why am I not being blessed? Maybe you're not doing what God said to do. Is this too simple? Why is there a drought? Have you done the things God said would release the rain of hope and peace and joy and purpose and blessing in your life? In 2000, a sociologist named Linda Waite did an exhaustive study of long-term married couples. She was a religious person. She was a sociologist. Did this extensive study over it was a multi-year study, involved thousands of married couples. She published her findings in a book called The Case for Marriage. Again, this is not a religious book. It's a sociology text. She compared long-term married people to cohabitating couples, to single people, and to divorced people. And the staggering result of the book was this. Married people live longer, and no, it doesn't just seem longer, you actually live longer. Married people live longer, are healthier, have more money, and experience greater satisfaction in life than any other demographic. And when she published her findings, everybody said that's not true, and they tried to refute it, but the data was just irrefutable. This held true regardless of age, of religious affiliation, of education, or any other socioeconomic measurement. Married people live longer, they're happier, they succeed, they have more money. And this whole hubbub erupted when she published her findings. No one could figure out, why is this true? And it's not just kind of true, it blows all the other demographic studies away. Well, it's really not that mysterious. God ordained marriage, and he put his blessing on marriage, and he said, if you walk in my statutes, do what I say, guess what? I'm going to rain blessing in your life. Well, and that doesn't mean that God doesn't love and care for and value unmarried people. He just ordained a certain portion of blessing on marriage. And there are people that don't even acknowledge God, but because they entered into that obedience, there's blessing in their life. It's not hard. Yeah, there's drought, but the first thing we need to do is quit whining and go back to the book and figure out what God said to do in order to release the blessing we need in our life. After the death of Moses, God spoke to his successor, Joshua, and this is the instruction God gave to the man who was leading a nation of former slaves into their promised land. Joshua 1:8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful, listen, to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You do not get blessing from God just because you're a cool Christian or you're a good church member. You get blessing from God because you obey God in your life. God's love for you is unconditional. His blessings are almost always conditional. And if you want the blessing of God and you're not experiencing it, quit whining and wondering and start doing what the book says. Read the book and live it out. But then there's the second thing. Are you guys all right? There's the second thing we need to do when we observe the drought conditions around us, whether they are in our personal existence or in our family or in our community. And that is this. We need to understand that one rainmaker can change the world. I have become a little obsessed with this thing online called TED Talks. Anybody here familiar with TED Talks? Oh, you got to educate yourself. It's fascinating stuff. TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. It's a conference that's held multiple times a year, and they invite the brightest minds of the world across all kinds of disciplines to give short 10, 15-minute talks about whatever they're passionate about. And it's fascinating. You sit and you'll hear a nuclear physicist talk about stuff that I don't understand, and then you'll have some other guy that's, you know, been studying like a beetle in Africa for 40 years, and he'll talk about beetles, and then you'll have some poet read poetry, and it's just, it's the brightest minds on the planet talking about what they're passionate about. And every conference they have an agenda. You know, we're going to come together and we're going to talk about how do we fix the economic crisis in the world. We're going to come together and talk about how do we find prosperity in the Horn of Africa where they're starving to death. And how do we find, and you have the brightest minds in the world gathered together with the best ideas, and they have stuff that is staggering. And guess what? They can't fix anything. What the world needs, and we're overrun with bright minds. Thank God for them, but they're not fixing anything. What the world really needs are some rainmakers who will say, you know something, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to put my face down in the Word of God. I'm going to read it. I'm going to absorb it until I figure out what's going to release blessing for me and for my family and for my marriage and for my kids and for my church and for my community. And then I'm going to start to live it out every single day. And you know what's going to change the world? It's not all the most brilliant thinkers gathered in a room somewhere trying to pitch their best ideas. It's when one little rainmaker starts living such a significant life that the overflow of that life blesses their family, and their kids take it to school and it blesses other families. And then those kids go home and their mom and dad say, wow, there's a way to live your life that will change it. And we can change this world. And all it takes is one rainmaker to say, I'm going to live this stuff out. We don't need an entire team of scientists and specialists. We need one person that says, you know something, I'm sick of surviving. And it's time for me to move beyond surviving and move beyond stability and even transcend success. My world needs me to be significant. Can I tell you something? We got a lot of young people in this house today. Can I tell you something? Your world needs you to live a significant life. You do not have the luxury of just living your life for yourself anymore. You cannot do it. Your world needs you to live a significant life that is so close to the promise of God that His blessing, you become a conduit and a channel for your generation. And all it takes is one of you. I wish I could inspire everybody in this room, but believe it or not, I've been preaching since I was 16 years old, and I've never gotten everybody on board for anything. The closest I ever came was a church in Alabama where I preached a three-week revival. Some of you don't even know what that means. That means you have church every night, and you preach everything you know, and then you start making stuff up because you run out of stuff that you know. And the idea is you're going to affect a huge spiritual shift in the church. My last service was on a Sunday night, and they were taking me to the airport, and the altars were full of people praying, and I had to leave to catch my plane. And at the back door, an elderly lady stopped me. She said, Pastor, I want to hug you and thank you. I said, okay. She said, I've been a member of this church for 40 years, and you've done something no other preacher has ever done. I said, what's that? She said, you have pleased us all. I said, I pleased you all? She said, oh, yes. Some of us are pleased to see you come. The rest are pleased to see you go. But I please. Only time since I was 16 I got everybody on board. I would like to think I could get everybody on board, but that's not a reality. All we really need is one person, though, to say, I will be the rainmaker for my generation. It doesn't have to be anybody else. I'm going to do it, whether anybody else does it or not. The Bible says this in Romans 5, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Through the offense of one, many be dead. much more by the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ. Grace has abounded to many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death passed, reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came on all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. In this passage, Paul is making one point, and he does so over and over and over again, driving home his message to us, which is this: it was just one man, Adam, that caused the downfall of the entire race, but by the same measure, it was one man, Jesus Christ, which caused life to pass to all men through the free gift of salvation. One man had the capacity to plunge humanity into sin and death. One man had the capacity to lift them again into righteousness in life. In this passage, he uses the word one 12 times. One had the capacity to doom the human race. One had the capacity to save it. I want to tell you something today. I don't need an entire generation to say, we're going to be the rainmaker generation. I need one person that says, I'm going to be a rainmaker in my family, in my school, on my job, in my church, in my community, in my country. A nursery rhyme from my childhood illustrates the profound truth of Romans 5. And it goes like this: for want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the war was lost. For want of a war, the kingdom was lost. All was lost for want of one nail. Great losses and great victories usually have one thing in common. It's one detail that is overlooked, or one detail that is taken care of, that causes them to happen. It all usually does indeed hang by one nail. Paul understood this. One man brought death to all men. One man brought life to all. And I have come here today to reemphasize your value as an individual and to tell you God has ordained your life. Whether you live it out according to what God has ordained or not is up to you. But God did not intend for you to be another little clone of your culture, where all you do is you spend your life chasing the values of this age. And it's a little hamster wheel that you never get off of. You're always chasing the next technology. You're always chasing the next fashion trend. You're always chasing the next celebrity. You're always chasing whatever flavor of the month the culture has thrown out there to you. And meanwhile, the world around you is disintegrating and dying. That is not the life God ordained for you. God wants you to be a conduit of His goodness and of His righteousness and of His mercy and of His love to your world. And all it takes is one of you to change the entire world around you. I'm all for team effort, and I'm all for collaborating together for a great cause. But let me tell you what I know, and let me tell you what's born out in the Word of God. At the very core of every great achievement, at the heart of every great thing that's ever happened, you'll usually find one that said, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I will change things, or I will die trying. And you can be the rainmaker that changes what the world looks like for your generation. You can be the nail that holds it all together and the spark plug that makes the whole thing fire up. You can be the catalyst for revival in your generation. You can be the fuel igniting change in others, first in yourself, and let it spill out to the world around you. You can be the rainmaker that ends the drought in your world. I told you this story a few months ago. It haunts me. I can't get away from it. Sitting with an older pastor who has been a mentor in my life. We had just come from the doctor. He was in excruciating pain because of nerve damage in his back. We had stopped to get a bite to eat. I knew he was in agony sitting there. I didn't observe what happened. It happened to my left and behind me, but there was a table of people. The waitress walked up. She was a beautiful young lady of color. The table was crowded with bigots and racists. And I overheard what they were saying, and as I turned to see what was happening, this elderly pastor grabbed the edge of that table, pulled himself up on his cane, walked into the middle of that restaurant in downtown Dallas, called them for what they were, defended that young lady's heart, made the gentleman leave the restaurant. The world needs more people like that. The world needs more people that says, you know something, I just really don't care what anybody else thinks. There are right things to do, and I'm going to do them. There's a right way to live, and I'm going to live it. I watched the mood in that restaurant change. His action sparked change across that entire room. All it takes is one. Do you understand the implication of the text I read to you out of Romans? On two separate occasions, the entire direction of humanity was reversed by one. Surely the direction of your family, of your friends, of your circle of influence can be changed by you. I need you to believe that you can be that one. You don't understand. I don't have the abilities. I'm not that kind of leader. You really don't have to be. You just have to obey God. You just have to obey. Thank you, Ron, for agreeing with me. Let me try that again. All you have to do is obey God. You just have to be the one that says, you know something, I'm not doing this. There's a right way to do this that unlocks blessing, and that's what I'm going to do. In the Old Testament, the Bible says that there was a time the entire nation was oppressed by a military leader until all the men became cowards and they slunk along back routes. They wouldn't even walk down the street in front of their house. They abandoned their villages until the Bible says in the book of Judges, one lady said this. She didn't go out and try to build a coalition, get 25 people to sign a petition. She records her testimony like this. She said, this continued until I, Deborah, arose. One woman changed the course of a nation because she said, this is not what God wants. The Apostle Paul stood before the great king of his day. And he said this, not one man stood with me. He wasn't whining and crying and feeling sorry for himself. He was making a statement. He was saying what Deborah said in the Old Testament. I'm tired of this drought. I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to figure out how he wants us to live. And I'm going to live it. And in the living of that life, I will change my world. I got a couple questions for you. Pastor Scott already told you this. I'm going to tell you again so what we do doesn't seem weird to you. We do three things when we come here. We worship God and we encourage everybody to worship God. You don't have to do it like us because you're not doing it for us. You're doing it for him. You may jump around like Sean does on the bass. Sean's not doing that to impress you. He does that because he loves God. We got other people that are a little quieter. Then we receive the Word of God. I didn't target this message at anybody, and I didn't exclude anybody. It's for everybody. Then the final thing we do is we come to this altar. We take the Word we've received. We come and we talk to God. Now, most churches I've been to, if they invite people down front to talk to God, they either invite the sinners that don't know God or the sinners that are the church people that have really messed up that week. And then everybody else sits back there and feels superior to the people that are up front because they didn't mess up, so they didn't need to talk to God. It's not how it works here. First of all, we're all sinners. Just some of us have been saved by the grace of God. Some of us walking in that grace, some of us yet to discover it. Coming down here and talking to God is not a bad thing. It's the very best thing we do. And I'm going to tell you something. If you came to my house allegedly to visit me, but then never said anything to me, I wouldn't be hurt. I'd be ticked off. Basically because I'm an egomaniac. But we're in God's house. You didn't come to hear the music. You didn't come to hear me preach. You came to connect to the eternal God that loves you. And he's got a very specific thing to tell you today, and that is simply this. He wants you to be a rainmaker in your generation. You're not just another one in the world, no. So when we come to this altar today in just a few moments to talk to God, here's what I want you to think about. Number one, am I experiencing drought in my life? I don't care what it is. If there's no peace in your life, that's a drought that God does not want for you. If there's no strength, if most days you don't know how you're going to get out of bed and face the world, it's not what God wants for your life. If there's no joy in your life, if you just do not enjoy living, it's not what God wants for you. If there's no purpose in your life, if you don't know why you exist, it's not what God wants for you. You're in drought. And there's a way to walk that will unlock the reign of God, the blessing of God in your life. So when you come down here today, what you're going to say is, this is what my drought looks like, God. You're not going to say it to me. You're going to say it to God. He hears you. This is what my drought looks like. And I need you to show me how I need to live to open up the blessing of God in my life. And then there are others of you, you may not be experiencing drought. You're kind of at that level of life where things are okay. I come to tell you, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you were ordained for more than that. You were ordained for a level of life where your life is a blessing to others. And we're going to ask God to release you into that dimension today. Would you bow your heads, Father? Thank you for the people that are gathered here today. Thank you for profound truth that is simply put in your word. It's not less profound for its simplicity. It's not hard to understand in its profundity. It's powerful and simple. If we live as you said for us to live, there will be the blessing of God in our life. This is our faith. This is our faith. And Father, I need somebody here today to believe that the drought in their life can come to an end and blessing and abundance can flow in their life. And Father, I need somebody in this house today to believe that they are the rainmaker for their family, for their place of employment, for their school, for their circle of influence, that they are the one that's going to live at such a significant level that it's going to challenge and lift everyone around them. Would you stand to your feet right where you are?
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.